we're back with Scott Miller from the Chimney Sweeps. Welcome.
Happy to be here. Thanks very much.
Now, Scott, you're originally from New York.
Yes. I was born in Brooklyn and grew up in Staten Island and then lived in the city for a few years. But now I'm located in Florida, South Florida, near Fort Lauderdale.
Awesome. Well, that's our home away from home.
It's nice, but, you know, I do miss some things about New York.
Well, let me ask you, how did you get the name the Chimney Sweeps?
Well, I'm very much into Victorian era kind of literature and music even, and you know, I'll often wear clothes like the chimney sweep wore with top hat and frilly shirts and all that. And also, the idea behind this project was to do an album of worker songs and dig up a lot of songs from the era in which chimney sweeps were active in the 1800s and do them kind of with a more modern feel. So we do Black Leg Minor, and which is like union busting in the late 1800s, and we do a song called Hard Times of Old England. We do an Irish song called By the Hush, and most of these take place in the Victorian era. So it all could just kind of seem to fit together.
Well, and you know, it's so appropriate. It's so, you know, relevant now. That's what's so amazing is, like, here we are, you know, well over 100 years later, and we're still dealing with these issues. If you look at, like, Wisconsin and, you know, the their union-busting governor and some of these issues that are affecting workers today.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly true. And one thing you learn just by looking back in history is that although circumstances change, people fundamentally don't.
That's
and
right.
It's the same exact situation of kind of the people that have taking advantage of the have-nots and trying to place all these restrictions on what people can do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'll perform Black Leg Minor sometimes, and even though it's about coal miners and I'm in Florida, it still really resonates with people because it's the same exact, it's, you know, the specifics are different, but the message is the same.
Definitely. And, you know, everything, if you're looking at, you know, both working conditions and even in office jobs, you know, people sometimes forget about that, you know, just because you work in an office doesn't mean the conditions are the greatest. Or, you know, definitely, well, like talking about mining, it's interesting. I saw, you know, that's still an issue that we're dealing with because, believe it or not, most of our energy in the United States still comes from coal, which is a very dirty, dirty business.
I did hear that, and it's surprising. And in England, you know, when they were all into coal mines, it was a double-edged sword because people made their living from it, but then again, it was polluting the air terribly. So on one hand, if they didn't have the coal mines, people wouldn't have jobs. On the other hand, if they did, there was smog where you couldn't even breathe. So
That's right. And I know, like, there was, just recently, there was a film that came out called The Last Mountain that was literally about an area in West Virginia where they were taking down the last mountain because of now they do the strip mining and mountaintop removal mining. So you don't have people crawling into coal mines, but now you're just, like, leveling an entire, you know, landscape.
And yeah, the whole thing about cutting out the tops of mountains is, you know, mind-boggling.
And then, you know, what's weird, though, is then you see what's being done in other countries. And I know in Australia, they've almost eradicated black lung disease, which is actually making a comeback here. Miners. And, yeah, in Australia, they have almost eradicated it, but here it's making a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I read a book recently called People from the Abyss, and Jack London wrote it in 1905, and he went into the East End of London, and the conditions were unbelievable, and it shows what happens when there are no regulations whatsoever on companies or corporations, that people will naturally exploit those, you know, below them, and if there is not a lot of regulations and unions and things like that to protect people, they'll really get taken advantage of. And
absolutely. Absolutely, and this will kind of actually get into a song that you wrote, actually, but there was, speaking of the conditions and lack of regulations, and of course we always think of, like, when we think of food, you think of a book like The Jungle. And what's terrifying, there was an article in the paper here in New York, it may have been about a year or so ago, about a family that owned a lot of kosher processing plants in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And kosher food is supposed to be, you know, it has, it's supposed to be, you know, certified that it's supposed to be really clean conditions. And the whole idea is also that the animals are humanely slaughtered. Well, they did an inspection of some of the plants that I believe were in Iowa. And they found the conditions to be absolutely horrible. And they were using a lot of illegal migrant workers, some as young as 15 years old, who weren't trained properly on the equipment. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, people are getting injured. Who knows what's ending up in your food? And, you know, it's, and then now we had the pink slime scare, which is kind of gross.
Right. I think that, to me, it's like if you could boil down the whole idea of when people say less government, it doesn't make sense because the corporations, by their very nature, are out make as much profit as possible.
Right.
And think about it, if there's a boardroom and there's one person that says, well, we shouldn't do this because it's going to harm the environment, but it's going to cost $10 million, no one's going to go with that because they'll get fired. You know, just by the very nature of corporations, they need to be regulated. If they're not regulated, then they run amok. And
right.
You can see that by everything that's been happening in the financial sector, as you mentioned, with the food processing plant. The government does have a role to play, and I think it should be as strong as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. And actually, tell us about, speaking about food, you wrote a song called...
Excuse Me, Waiter.
Excuse Me, Waiter.
Right. Basically, I've just been reading a lot about the pink slime scare and all this other stuff, and I wanted to write a song about it, but if you're just a guy with a guitar, I didn't want to be a shrill, overly earnest, protest type song. I wanted it to be entertaining, but still with a message. So kind of came up with this idea, excuse me, waiter, what's on my plate? It's not food because it's genetically modified. It's, I started reading up on what is done to food and it's bleached,
ammonia. It's sprayed with ammonia.
Exactly right. And it's just unbelievable. So I had more than enough details to go with the song. And I kind of tried to make it into, because I'm a huge Anglophile. I love British stuff. I tried
Me
to make
too.
It kind of a Celtic type song. And, the melodica is a rare, it's not rare, but it's not a commonly used instrument. And that's really what powers the whole song.
Well, it's funny, speaking of British music, what kind of comes to mind is remember the video Pink Floyd did? The Wall?
Oh, yeah.
They have that scene towards the end that's just people going into a meat grinder and kind of coming out as like this meat paste. And I'm like, if they say you are what you eat, I think that's very appropriate these days.
The more you read, the more it just freaks you out, really. So... but like I said, I try to do most of the things I do. I try to inject some humor into it because that's the kind of music I like. Stuff with a message, but also that, comes at it with an entertaining angle.
Definitely, definitely. So who are some of your musical influences?
Believe it or not, I'm not Latino, but my biggest musical influence is a Cuban songwriter called Silvio Rodriguez. And he's been... Right, he's kind of like the Bob Dylan of Cuba, and his songs are so incredibly powerful, and they really address the whole human condition, and there's just this, they have this incredible feel to them that I've seen people totally affected by it who couldn't understand the word of the lyrics, and it's great music, and the other main thing I listen to is a lot of British traditional music, so there's one artist, Richard Thompson, who... combines kind of rock music with traditional things like bagpipes and accordions and all that. And those are really the two major influences on me. And, they're each my favorites. I can't decide between the two.
Well, that's actually cool. There's no need to. You can mix the two. That's very cool.
Yeah, to me, it's Nick Drake also, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but very quietly powerful stuff. I don't really like the bombastic thing. It's more understated is usually best. And there's also a songwriter, Ladin Wainwright III, who's been knocking around for 30, 40 years, and he has some really funny songs and also some very serious songs. So it's a great mix to just have
Well, you know, a group that kind of reminded me of that was Erasure, actually. Remember from 80s Erasure? And they had a song called, well, they had an album called The Circus.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
And it's there was a song on there that actually was dealing with, again, kind of those Industrial Revolution kind of themes and the rights of workers.
Right.
But Andy Bell, and it was Andy Bell and Vince Clark in Erasure, and they had this kind of circusy music. So when you actually, it's a really cool video that's available. You can see it on YouTube. And when you see it, it's kind of like, has this kind of weird, kind of happy, clownish circus music. And the movements that they're doing in the video kind of are robotic, but yet they're talking about workers and industry. And actually, it deals a little bit with something you and I were talking about earlier. It's like the idea of people being laid off, like basically used up by the system and then laid off. You know, they use you, chew you up, spit you out.
Right. Well, I'll have to check it out because one of the things I do on Facebook is I have a Song of the Day feature. I don't know if you've seen it, but every day for the past 3 or 4 years, I post a song and then also give a lot of background about it. And I'm just kind of a frustrated music journalist, so I do that every day. And it's great fun, so I'm always looking for interesting new songs, so I will check that. I'll check that out.
Definitely, The Circus.
Okay.
Cool. Now, where can people, do you have anything that's coming up? You're going to actually be taking a trip.
Yeah, I'm going to Ireland, not for music purposes, just for, although there's amazing music in Ireland, but
yes.
More for a wedding. But generally what we do is I have a website, and, you know, I guess we'll give it at the end of the show, but I put up, I produce a tremendous amount of stuff, usually about one album a month.
Wow.
And I post it on my site, and people can download it for free. And every kind of month is usually a different project. So the Chimney Sweeps was probably a month or two's project. Since then, you know, I'm doing something called the Green Melodica now, which is retro 60s type stuff.
Very cool.
And, yeah, and basically what I do is that I do everything myself on the recordings. And then I have some musicians that I play with, and when we play live, I just gather them up and show them the songs, and we'll run through it, and it's fun. But I like to have total control over everything, so, and the rate of putting out an album a month is, you know, you really can't involve anybody else in it. So.
That's very impressive. That's very impressive.
What happened was I had always wanted to be a musician, and I never was until a few years, probably about 4 years ago, I first picked up an instrument, and, so I had all this built-up creativity in me, and, you know, now 700 songs later, I'm well-entrenched in it.
That is really cool.
Well, it's, you know, they always say, you know, it's never too late. And
that's
well,
right.
It's kind of a cliche, but it's true, because, you know, that was always my dream. I didn't do it really until my son started playing music, and he kind of convinced me to, why don't you do it too? That's a great idea. So, you know, it's great. It's really fantastic to have a creative outlet and just sit around and write songs. It's so fun.
That is awesome. That is absolutely awesome. So where can people hear you?
On the website is called scottmillermusic.bandcamp.com. And it has pretty much probably about 15 or 16 full albums on there. And you can listen to it, download it. And the Chimney Sweeps album is up there, along with some other... I usually perform under the name Paul Pennyfeather. And so there are a lot of Paul Pennyfeather albums. And the thing is, it's all very... I try not to use regular instruments like guitar or whatever. So I, rather than guitar, I play a baritone ukulele. And I use a melodica and a lot of other different things just so it's something a little different than the norm. And there's also a Facebook page, facebook.com, Technicolor Gramophone. And Technicolor Gramophone is kind of a band it's kind of the basic band that I work with. And it's all kind of psychedelic retro things. And you'll hear some of the music on the website.
Very cool. Very, very cool.
So, well, you know, the lesson is, you know, it's never too late in life to start learning something that you've always wanted to.
That's right. That's absolutely right. It's never too late. And so are you on Reverb Nation or iTunes or any of those?
No, I'm not on iTunes or Reverb Nation. Basically, I just find that Bandcamp, you know, just having one central site, if people like the music, they can go there and download it all. So
cool.
Really just that one site. On Facebook, you could also, on the music tab, download the music and listen to it. So.
Excellent. So it's under Scott Miller.
Yes, and you can friend me on Facebook, Scott Miller, and, you know, I'll point you in the direction of the music.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I think you guys are doing great work, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.